You are listening to the Wisdom with Trish podcast. This is episode 77, Organize Your Home, with an interview with Tracy Hoth. Welcome to Wisdom with Trish. I'm Trish, I'm your host. I'm a mom to six kids. I've been married to my sweetheart for 28 years. And I'm a life coach. But most of all, and why we're all here, is I spent 30 years chronic dieting. Yep, most of my life I've spent trying to be in a smaller body. And this podcast is about my journey to turning to God and trusting Him to not diet anymore. I found a path of health and a path of loving the space I take up in the world. And I'm here now to help other women do the same. So I'm so glad you're going to join me on the journey. All right, here we go. Hey, 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 friends. I hope you're all doing amazing. I'm super excited about today's podcast. I wanted to do something that I haven't done before. And that is, I'm a life coach who helps people with eating healthy and loving the space they take up in the world. But I wanted to invite someone on who is actually a professional organizer life coach, because I just know that if y'all have messy spaces in your house and if your life feels chaotic, it's really hard to focus on your health part of your life when everything is chaotic around you. So I thought it'd be so powerful to have someone come on today. So I think you're going to love Tracy Hoth. So here you go. I think you'll love this interview.
All right, Tracy. Well, I'm so excited that you get to be here with me today and chat about all things organization.
I'm excited to be here. I love talking about this.
Yes. So everybody, I knew that I wanted to do a podcast episode on organization. And I mean, I could talk to you about it, but then I'm like, you know, what if I got a life coach who helps women who actually, like, that this is what she does. Like, I help you all, like, love the space you take up in the world and eat God's way. She literally, like, helps you, like, organize your life. Like, that's what she does. So you're going to love this today. So Tracy, tell everybody a little bit why you do what you do.
I think being more organized helps you, the benefits of it help you have more peace and more free time and give you the ability to do what you want to do instead of clearing things off or shifting things around or spinning in overwhelm. So I just love the confidence it gives people when they learn that they can do it. So it's just so fun helping people get organized, feel more organized, feel confident about doing it.
Yeah. You said something that I don't know that everybody will know what you mean. Like when you said, when I help people in overwhelm, what do you mean by that?
I think, well, the ladies that come to me feel like they have a lot of stuff and they're not sure what to do with it. Maybe they inherited stuff from family members, or they're in a stage in their life like we are. We have four kids, and so we have a lot of transition. So we're keeping stuff for the next kid. And they just feel stuck, like they're not sure where to start. They're not sure what to do. Or they do take action, but then get unmotivated, I guess would be the right word. And then they feel like they've made more of a mess. And so I think that's pretty common. They just, overwhelm causes you to sit and spin instead of keep moving forward.
Yeah. And sometimes, like, I think that even that spinning that you're talking about, like not taking care of it. Like, I think that women sometimes think, it will be a bigger problem if I take care of it. So if I just shut the door, right?
But then it's like that weight every time they walk past that door, they think about it. Or if they need to get in there, or if something actually goes in there, they don't want to open the door. So it's kind of always lurking.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that I think is fascinating, because, you know, since I'm more of a body coach, and the women who listen to the podcast know that we literally get to think of our bodies as neutral. And we think we get to, like, we know that they're a neutral circumstance because everybody has different thoughts about bodies, right? Like, mm-hmm. some women would look at my body and think, oh, I'd love to be her size. And then some women would look at my body and think, oh, she'd be my before picture. Like, you know, like, we're just, there's so many different thoughts about bodies. Well, I think that there's so many thoughts about organization. I think that organization's neutral, right? Like, it's
yes.
like, it's a neutral thing. And like, I was telling Tracy before we started the podcast, I'm like, I'm kind of an organized person. Like, I'm organized, like this, I don't know that I know what the pain feels like of not being organized, because I'm organized. And it like literally dawned on me, well, that's just this story I tell myself, that I'm an organized person.
Yes. And that's the identity part of it. Like, yeah. what do you identify as? If it's that you were always the messy one, if it's that your mom was messy, or the opposite, I've noticed the opposite. She could have been perfectly neat and never let you guys do anything. So, or maybe you have ADD or ADHD and it really, you think people like that can't get organized. So there's the identity, of course. And then what you said before that was, oh gosh, what was it?
Well, we just have different ideas about bodies. Oh. And I really think we just have different ideas about what organization is. Like, someone could come to my house and I believe myself to be a pretty organized person, and they could think, this girl needs to get her stuff together. She's a little yeah. bit of a mess. Every time I open a closet, it's a little, you know. But then someone else who might have a little bit less organized home than me thinks my house is fantastic.
Yes. And so that's what I love. I don't think of it like the shows on Netflix where it has to look a certain way. I'm really love functional organizing, because organizing just means that you know what you have and you can find it when you need it. So you can evaluate yourself, and your organization level is perfect for you. And that's where you're saying someone else could come in and think, oh, she's not very organized. Like, her counters aren't clear. But yeah, you know exactly what you have and you can find it when you need it. And your family members can find things when they need them. That's what organization is. So to evaluate where you're at, if that definition, if you can find things and you're happy with it, it makes, you're fine with it, then you don't need to get any more organized.
So I love that. So it's about function.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yes.
Like, does your life function? Because if your life's not really functioning, like if every time you get to brush your hair, you have to look for the hairbrush, maybe your life is not functioning very well, right? Like, but maybe it doesn't bother you. Like, that was the most annoying thing to me as a young mom with four little girls, was that our house had to be picked up just so we could find the hairbrushes, or we would never yeah. know where they were.
Well, and that's interesting, because I have a client that in the past that had a drawer in the kitchen, which I thought was an odd place for all your hair supplies, but it worked perfect for her. She had all her supplies in there, and the bows lived in there, and the brushes and the hair detangler. And so it was a good place for it, because that's where they actually did the hair in the morning.
So funny. Forever in the house that I raised my kids in for the majority of the time, we had a downstairs bathroom, and the downstairs bathroom only had like a pedestal sink and a toilet. But I made everyone's toothbrushes live there and for all our guests to see, because I knew that if they lived upstairs, no one was ever brushing their teeth. So they yes. had to live in the downstairs where we were most of the time, so I could actually physically see my kids brushing their teeth.
Exactly. So that's where
the hairbrushes in the kitchen. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where the function comes in. I mean, we all need to find what works for us and then yeah. be content, like be working with that in our lives.
Yeah. And I liked what you said too. It's not having the HGTV, like visually looking space. That's mm-hmm. what we would call organized. It's about, do you have processes in place, and so that your house functions the way that it can function best, so your life is easier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when when you have women come work with you, you kind of teach them some steps. Tell us what those are.
Mm-hmm. So the steps to organize anything, and this could be your mind, you're feeling overwhelmed in your mind, you're feeling overwhelmed in your space. The first thing you always do is sort. So I can imagine, this is what I do. I go into my closet and I think I'm going to get rid of some stuff. And I pick up the first thing and I always look at it and I'm like, well, I don't know. I mean, I might be able to wear that. And then that's just too hard. So I stick it back and I leave. If we sort first, we know exactly what we have and then we can make decisions. So the sorting step makes it easy. And I stood in front of a client's garage and I looked at all the stuff and I just stood there and I was so overwhelmed. So just know that I feel exactly the same way. And my thought was, there's no way we can do this. This is way too hard for us. But she was paying me, so I had to do something. So
just wraps up and do it.
Yeah. And this was before I was a coach. So I look back on this and I think about how amazing it is, how logical it is. I had to tell myself, Tracy, the first step to organizing is to sort. So walk forward and grab something and put it in a pile. And I did. I grabbed a paint can, I think, and I put it in a pile. And I said, this is paint supplies and paint. And then she started doing the same thing. And before you knew it, we had the whole garage sorted into categories.
I don't know that people are clear, like when you say sort, because I'm like, well, when you walked in there and you picked up your first clothing item, weren't you going to sort that? Like,
no.
What do you mean by, I think we got to clarify a little bit what's sorting.
That's a good point. No, I walked in and I was going to pick it up and decide if I was going to keep it or get rid of it. I was just deciding. So in that example, sorting would be, let me pull out all my tank tops and I'm going to put all my tank tops on my bed. I'm going to see exactly what I have. Step two is to purge. So I would look at all the sorted tank top category, and then I would pick my favorites out, decide which ones were too small or I haven't worn in a year, or I didn't like the color on me or whatever, and purge away the ones that I don't want to keep. So
sorting has no decisions. We're not making decisions right in the sorting. We're just right, like putting categories together of our
yes. Okay. Yes.
And then the purging is when the decision making begins. And that's
yes.
So did you tell everybody the spasm? Did you say spasm?
No. So my acronym is SPASM, S-P-A-S-M. And I did that so many years ago. I've been doing this for 13 years. And so I made that up and I was like, this is kind of dumb, but at the same time, it's funny because it makes me think of our closet, you know, like our garage having a spasm because we have so much stuff. But next time you have like a little eye twitch or a leg spasm, muscle spasm, you're going to be thinking about organizing and the steps to get organized. Yeah.
Right. Oh, now every time, like, it happens in my garage. We have a three car garage, and the third part where it's more like just our storage, it totally has a spasm once in a while. And when it's at the spasm point is when I go out and I take care of it. Like,
yes,
it literally has to be like having a spasm before I, yeah. Okay, now it gets my attention. So I love it. I love the acronym. So the first one is sort of the, of the spasm, and then purge. I think that purging, like purging in my mind is like, it's what like feeds my soul. I love to purge. Like, I would love to move tomorrow just so I can purge stuff.
Now, you are very rare. Yeah, I think a lot of people feel the opposite.
Yeah.
Yes.
Most people think if I have to purge stuff because they love their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wants to make that many decisions.
It is decision making, which is a skill. So, I mean, that gives people hope that there is a skill to decision making and they can practice that skill. The other side of that is the emotional side of it. Learning to first recognize, what emotion are you afraid of feeling? What emotion is coming up when you're trying to make a decision? And working on the skill of processing an emotion, being willing to feel an emotion, it is hard for a lot of people. And I think that's something we don't talk about, teaching people about the emotion, the sentimental part of it for people, the emotion tied to maybe someone that had died or someone that gave a gift. I mean, there's a lot of things that come up when we're making decisions.
Well, and so I think that, what you were talking about in the very beginning was, I think what happens is women could sort their stuff like that. That feels very doable. And then when we go to the next level and it's time to purge and make decisions, and then all the emotion shows up, I think that's when everybody just puts all their stuff back in the closet.
And it's a little easier because we sorted, we know what we have, we feel a little bit better about it. And one of the things, that's why I say with a purge, pick your favorites first. Like, that's easy to look at the pile and say, oh my gosh, I love this thing. I love wearing this. I use this in the kitchen all the time. Like, this is my favorite spatula. And then we see the rest of them and we're like, pick one or two, and then you can let go of the rest.
I love that. So pick your favorites. Pick, as you go through your piles, pick your favorite things out.
Yes.
I even think when I had younger kids, it became, I didn't figure this out till they were like towards my younger set of kids. And I wish I had known it with my older, but I literally got to the point where I'm like, they only need a week's worth of clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And I even got to the point where they only had one church outfit because they were boys. My youngest were boys. So I just had one church outfit. So when I would go through all their like piles of stuff and when the seasons would change, I literally would just like pull out my 7 favorite pairs of pants for them, my favorite 7 shirts that match those. And it took all the like decision-making. Like I could just, the rest went in the, like the garage. And I thought, well, I can live there for a little while to see if I need something.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's easier, I know, with boys too. My boys, easy to dress them. But that's the other thing with purging. If you really feel uncomfortable and you're trying to let go of stuff, I like the trick to put a box somewhere that says donate on 6 months from now, put the date on the outside. And it's kind of like a holding pattern. If it's really bothering you a month from now, you can go back out there and get something, but you're practicing feeling the emotion and allowing yourself to transition.
Yeah. And likely if you never go to the box in 6 months, you don't need that stuff.
Right. Yeah. And then don't open it.
And don't let your kids see it.
Don't open it and just take it to the donate.
Put it in a black trash bag.
So yeah.
Someone knows what's inside.
Yes.
Especially if you're doing kids' bedrooms.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So purge. All right. And then the next one is the A.
Assign homes. So now that you know what you're going to keep, you're going to make decisions about where it should live, where you want it to live. And so there's a couple things, like this is the fun part. It's a puzzle sometimes because our spaces are figured differently, but you put things that you use a lot in an easily accessible place, and then other things further back in your cabinets or out in the garage or down in a storage room or something. So just decide where things are going to live. And you can always think for now, they're going to live there and you can change it later, but you're just going to decide. And then labeling helps with family members. I know a client of mine has 5 boys and she said when she labeled her pantry, like everyone got so excited. These 5 boys got so excited because now they know where things go. And sometimes for ourselves, as we get forgetful, we need to remember where we decided something was going to live.
Well, and for me, that is the most fun part. Like maybe I need to go buy a container to put.
Well, yes, that's the next step. Set limits. Okay. So that's where I don't want people buying anything until they get to the 4th step of setting limits, because now you know what you have, you know where it's going to live. And then you can say, oh, this shelf really needs some structure to it. I'm going to go buy 3 baskets for it. And I know exactly what size they need to be. And I know what's going to live in them. Maybe it's drawer dividers. Like that's your limit you're setting. So the limit part of it is now when the basket gets full, or I think of my socks in my drawer, because I have a drawer divider, when my socks start coming up over the drawer divider, I know, oh, I did get two pairs for Christmas and I ordered that other pair. And now I need to go back through the steps. So the limit of the container helps you trigger that you need to go back.
Well, and I really think that a lot of times we start with the container.
Yes.
We like buy the container thinking this will be the magical container that's going to get me organized.
That's so true. And that even works with
it collects dust and we don't even ever put anything in the container.
Yeah. And it doesn't fit. We're waiting
for the perfect time.
Yes. And that works with like planners too. Like we go buy a new calendar, a new, anything like that.
Here. Yeah. Yep. And it's pretty empty.
Uh-huh. But it looks so good and it feels so good when you're at the store.
Well, and it's so exciting to think of who you will be with that planner, right?
Yes.
Like, who will I be with this piece of organization? I'm just going to be a different person.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So set limits. What else would you want to say about setting limits? Because I think this is what happened. Like for us, we moved into this house 4 years ago. I purged most of my house when we moved. It was fantastic. But now all the stuff's building up again.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a really big house and a lot of closets. I bought a house with lots of closets on purpose. And now we've filled them.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you decide what your limits are? Because I feel like I have to move to be able to do that again.
Well, do it. The other thing I'd say with setting limits is there's no rules. So you can do whatever. I like to shop my house first, shop what you have first, even if it's like a box. The Costco big cereal boxes, even if it's something like that, that you're going to set down in a drawer, see if you like it, see if it works. And then if you want to go spend money on more products after that, you can. But you just get to decide what your limit is as far as space. And then this kind of ties into the fifth step, which is to maintain it. My secret is to tie it to something you do already. So you already do taxes. I always do that example first. So every year at tax time, make sure you schedule an hour or two to go through your files, purge all your paperwork. So that just happens naturally. I know at tax time, and it doesn't just happen. I have to put it on my calendar because I won't feel like doing it. With clothing with your kids, probably right before school starts is a great time to tie purging or going organizing their closets, because you're looking at school clothes and or seasons. When season changes, that's a good time. Your refrigerator, you naturally could do that either on trash day, you could empty anything, or before you go do groceries, when you get back from grocery shopping, I always try to wipe out my refrigerator and clean it. So tie it to stuff that you do to maintain it. So for your closets, what could you tie it to to maintain like what you have in your closet?
I don't know. I know for me, like I have more teenagers now.
Uh-huh.
And I get really frustrated about their bedrooms because they're not kept like mine. Like
right.
How I would want them. And
right.
But I don't want to have my relationship with my teenagers about that. And so I give them each a garbage bag, like a tall kitchen garbage bag. And I'm like, every summer, I'm like, this has to be full of stuff from your room.
Oh, what a fun idea.
Yeah. And I'm like, and here's another one. This is the garbage, but this is our, like, we're going to donate, go fill the bags. And they do. And then they said their rooms feel so much better.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that idea.
Because I'm a purger, I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm going to be raising kids who are like hoarders. Cause I've always made them purge their stuff. And so this is just like, it gives them ownership back. Like, I'm like, oh, I don't care what you get rid of. Cause sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, I just bought those jeans. Why are we putting them in the bag? So if I just don't even see it, cause if they're putting them in the bag, they don't want those jeans anyway.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're not wearing them anyway. It's just going to hang in the closet. So
that's what I tell moms that I work with the mom. When I work with a teenager, the mom always comes in at the end and was like, oh, wait, I just bought that. Oh, wait, we need to keep that. And they're pulling things out. It's interesting.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then with little kids, I really think the biggest hack is you purge their stuff in a black bag so they can't see. Because mm-hmm. that was the worst thing for me is I would try to like clean out my kids' rooms like in the summer and I'm like putting toys in that I know that they don't play with. They're just pulling them out every time trying to get to the toys they do play with. So I would try to purge those toys and then they would all just get so sad and they'd want it back and they never
care. But that's, it's an interesting perspective because I do have people, grown women that remember their mom throwing things away that they had. And so it is interesting. People have different views on that. And so it is kind of like, you got to test it out for yourself to see what works, but the favorites thing works good with kids. And one time we even did we made a toy closet in one of the bedrooms for the kids that they all used, but we had them pick their like two or three favorite toys they played with. And we left those out. And then we put all this other stuff in the closet and then saw that they needed to trade something in for the toy if they wanted a different toy. And it was interesting. Like they never wanted to, cause their favorite things were out.
That's so funny. Yeah. Yeah. Kids are tricky. Cause I fear I've created hoarders.
It doesn't even matter. I've seen women from
they have to figure it out.
Yeah, really strict moms to moms that didn't do anything, and the opposite come from both. So I think it's a little bit maybe how we're made naturally, kind of, even though it's a skill, we still maybe have different levels of the ability to learn it quickly or not, or it to come naturally or not.
So what do you tell my listeners to help them? Because we've given them a lot of like steps to like take action.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go back a little bit to the purge part where they're making decisions. How do we help them feel the way they need to feel so that they can get their spaces in the way that they actually would really benefit their life? But like, you know, some have a lot of, like, I'm not a single male person. So I don't relate to that, but I know that I have sentimental friends and they cannot get rid of anything.
Right.
So how do we help them with their feelings? So, because my listeners know about the model and they know that they taking action is going to get them so far that they know if they feel the right way, it's going to really create what they want.
Yeah. There's two things. There's two things. I think first, recognize that you don't have to do any of it. You don't have to get rid of anything. Like you really don't, you can keep it. So just look at like what you want your future. Let's say you in 6 months, do you want to be able to have more space in your house? Do you want to walk into your office and feel free and light? Do you want to be able to have all the doors open in your house when company comes? Like, what do you want to feel like in your home? And realize if you want that, you can work on making decisions and letting things go. So accept kind of where you're at, realize or not, if you want it or not, you don't have to. And then start by envisioning what you want it to look like. Then when you make decisions, you can go to that vision. You can go to that thing that you're spending time thinking about and say, okay, does that fit into my life then? What would it feel like if I let this go? So the action line is let an item go. So what would you need to feel to let something go? Mm-hmm. Confident trust is a big thing. Trust is huge. And you can bring the spiritual side into it. Like, I will trust that God will provide everything I need when I need it. Like that kind of brings it to the next level where you then have this peace feeling instead of this gripping fear or scarcity feeling. And so that's helpful a lot, the trust part of it, bringing the spiritual element into it.
Sometimes I even like to think, what would it cost for me to replace this? Because for me, it's a lot of times I don't want to get rid of something because what if I need it? So I love to just think, is this thing, if it, like, my kind of my own rule is, if this is going to cost me less than $20 to replace it, I can purge it.
Yes. That's a good.
My whole life, I'll probably always have the ability to spend $20 if I need to. That's probably doable.
Uh huh.
Right? You know, and maybe if it's more than that, then I'm like, okay, maybe I will hold on to this. But a lot of things fall in the under $20 category.
Yeah. So even that, like, you had a little rule in advance before you started making decisions. So you could set some of those rules up. Like, this is where you think into the future. I want to have two file drawers in my office. I want to have less than 10 pair of jeans. So then when you go in there to make decisions, you can go, okay, well, let me start by picking my favorites and then see how many spots left I have. Like, do I have three more openings for my jeans? And then I can try to pick three. So you've decided in advance, made a little rule to, it's easy to follow.
I would think deciding in advance is really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's a really good tool to use for sure. So share us, I'd love to hear about someone that maybe you worked with that they just really just had to change their mindset to be able to make their result what they wanted. Do you have a good example for us?
Yeah, one of my clients, and there's lots of my clients that have avoided spaces for years because they had, like you were, we were talking about earlier, their identity was that they're not someone that can organize, they're messy, they're cluttered. And so she had a storage room that she avoided, she'll say, for over 15 years. It was just a mess. She would always shut the door and she just hated going in there. And so that's where she wanted to start. And we, you know, mapped out a plan and then started practicing the steps and really focused on the mindset. Like, what did she need to believe about herself and about her ability? And then we would just keep working on her mindset. And it's so fun now. The whole storage room is organized. And she now was telling me the other day that she had to use going through a pile of paper because now she was working on all the paper in her house. She wanted to have it all organized. And she had to use that as her reward for doing this other task that she didn't want to do because now she's very confident in her ability and it's fun. And she likes the result so much that now it was her reward. And we just had to sit and celebrate. Like, it is so possible for anyone out there that's feeling overwhelmed and stuck and like there's so much or like they're not organized. It is possible to change that.
Yeah. Do you ever work with someone that, it's literally just the symptom in their, of their life, their disorganization is just the symptom. Like, if, and then it's something completely different. Like they clean up their relationship with their husband and then all of a sudden they can organize their life. Like, do you find that? Like,
yes. And that's where it's all kind of tied together with the rest of your life. So especially, well, even in our, in my group program, but my one-on-one clients, we coach on so many different things because
all connected.
It's kind of all connected.
Yeah. So this is fun. It's fun to talk about organization, probably because it's not one of my, like, because I have a really positive story about it. Right.
Right.
That's another thing. But listen, if you're listening and you feel like you have a horrible story, just know that it's just a story.
It is.
Choose your own story about what you, how you are about organizing.
I mean, imagine that. Imagine, like, I just have to sit and think about that sometimes that, I mean, we all have stories in different areas of our life, but that it is just that, a story. Yeah. And how do you go about changing that? I mean, that's where the mindset work comes in and the coaching tools are so helpful for you to begin to change that and practice what you want to believe about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, I've loved having you on today. And like I ask for all my other guests, when I remember, sometimes I forget. But when I remember, I love to ask them, I like to have you tell everybody one thing that you just really love about yourself. And I'm not going to let you say that you're organized. I'm not even going to let you say that. You have to.
Oh, no, no. I wouldn't say that. I would say that I have always had the belief that it's going to be fine.
Mm.
And I think I've been noticing that a lot. Even something, we had a rental car. And I just have the belief it'll all work out. Like, it's going to be fine. Now, that's a really positive thing, and I have loved it. It's been very advantageous to have that. But I mean, it does have its negative side also, but that is one thing I love about myself.
It's always, say it again.
It's going to be fine. It's all going to work out.
I love that. That is so beautiful. And you just have that. Like you didn't have to like create that. Like, that's just something that's your spirit is aware of and knows. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, and then I always find evidence to prove it's true.
Oh yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, that's the fun part. It's like, look, it turned out fine.
Oh, I love it. That's so good. All right. Some people are going to be like, oh my goodness, I need some more help organizing. So tell everybody, how do they find you if they want to come like follow you on Instagram, or where are you at?
Yep. My website is simplysquaredaway.com.
That's so cute. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And Instagram, I'm Tracy Hoth. TRACYHOTH. I always have to spell that because nobody understands what it is. And then Facebook is Simply Squared Away.
Oh, awesome. And everybody, I'll put all of her info in the show notes so you can find her. And really, because everybody that's here, they're most likely on trying to find a health journey that feels right to them.
Yes.
And like we said earlier, everything's connected. So if you feel like your spaces are chaotic, usually that's a reflection of your brain's a little bit chaotic. And then it's really hard to make the best decisions in the interest of us when we feel chaotic. So it's just all connected. So I knew that today would be really helpful to so many, because, you know, I think that if your life feels chaotic and your house feels chaotic and your brain's chaotic, and then we're like, oh, but I should be like taking care of myself. That makes so much sense. I should be exercising better, even though everything feels chaotic, you know, around me.
Yes.
I just think that when we dial that in, and then we can just be like, okay, it all layers on each other.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times, I mean, it is the mindset. We need to learn the skill to overcome overwhelm. But then there is the skill gap too. A lot of times there's a skill gap. So whichever one it is, I mean, I just want to encourage people. There's hope for that. Like, there is, it can be changed. It's just a skill that maybe you don't have. You haven't practiced it enough or whatever.
Skill and a belief that it's possible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good. All right. Okay, everybody. I hope that you're doing wonderful. I hope you're eating plants. Your life is just beautiful. All right. Have a great day. Have a great day. Have a great day. We'll see you next time.
A few things before you go. If you have found that you need help on your journey of taking amazing care of yourself and loving the space you take up in the world, please, I would love for you to come join us in my monthly membership coaching program called Breathe. Breathe is a place where like-minded women come together and help one another. I help you by coaching you, and then I record that, and then other women will watch while you are helped, and then you watch other women when they're helped. And it's this community where women are helping women, and it's so beautiful. There's a lot of other perks when you're a Breathe member. So you receive coaching, you get to watch other women be coached, and then you also get to have access to any course that I provide. So right now, there's two courses in the membership. One is how to eat plant-based in 30 days without dieting. So if you're at the very beginning of your journey, that will help you so much. Now, if you're a little bit further along in your journey, you will probably love my course that is on self-care. And it's a self-care course that you take over 6 weeks. And it's a way for you to come home to yourself and start figuring out, what does love feel like for you? And this is a course that I usually offer just to a group coaching program, but now it's also offered in Breathe. Something else you'll have is you'll have this community of support. There'll be a private Facebook group that you can check in with. And remember, you're going to be seeing these other women be coached. So you will get to be, honestly, their best friends. It will be a wonderful community. And you know, sometimes when we eat plant-based and we try to leave diet culture, it's a little bit lonely. So that will be a wonderful support for you. The last thing, I provide weekly meal plans. I'm trying to think of everything I can to make this process of you loving you and you loving the space you take up in the world and you taking amazing care of yourself to have all the tools for that. And one tool to simplify your life is a weekly meal plan with a grocery list. And that will also be available in Breathe. And all of that will be available on an easy app so that you can access it on your phone and you can, it can be very user friendly for you. So come join me in Breathe. You remember, nothing in your life has to change for everything to change. And that's the work we do in Breathe. Have you come up for air? Have you needed help to keep breathing? I got you. Come join us and Breathe. Have you downloaded my free commitment planner? Okay, if you haven't, you totally need to. It's such an easy way for you to make and keep commitments to yourself and honor those commitments. Go to my Instagram account and in the links in bio, there is an option there to download that for free. Totally go get that. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. If you're feeling like you're missing episodes, it's probably because you're not subscribed. So whatever, wherever you listen, you just subscribe and then they will make sure that you don't miss an episode. Also, are you part of my free Facebook group? If you're not, you should be. Come on over, share recipes with us. And it's just a really diet culture free place to enjoy being online. And last of all, have you left me a review? Reviews are really important because that's how other people find the podcast, is through a review. So wherever you listen, go ahead and leave me a review there so other people can get the help that they need through the podcast. All right, y'all are the best. Have the best day. See you next time.